Turn with me to the book of the Psalms, the 96th Psalm. The 96th Psalm. This past week, I've been thinking in terms of Thanksgiving coming upon us, and not only that, but it should be an everyday thing, shouldn't it? Thanksgiving should be something that we live on a daily basis as we think about all that the Lord has done for us. But there was two passages of Scripture, and quite honestly, I had one as the text until last night. And as I began to look at this 96th Psalm, then it began to speak to me. So we'll go to this, and then we'll go to the 50th Psalm after we look at this few verses. Psalm 96, starting with verse 1, reading down through verse 9. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him, all the earth. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. But would you join your hearts with me once again in prayer? Heavenly Father, we bow before You and we thank You. To say thank You seems so small in relation to that which You do for us on a daily basis. But Father, if we know our hearts from the very depth of our hearts, we express gratitude to You, and we want to give unto You that glory that is due Your name. Help us, Lord, today as we're in this season, this time that Thanksgiving is made prevalent in our thoughts. May indeed it be a time of thankfulness unto You. And today, Lord, I ask that You would bless me to be able to speak Your Word in such a way that would honor You and that would stir all of our hearts into a deeper time of gratitude for You. Help us, Lord. Help us, please, as we study Your Word. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. When I began to read this psalm, and I really started out with this psalm, I was going to use it as a call to worship instead of the 95th psalm. But then I saw how the two dovetail together and they fit together in such a beautiful way that I wanted to use the 95th psalm as the call to worship, just bringing us to that place in just looking back at Psalm 95 for just a moment. The singing, the joyful noise, you know, when we think about those things and we're together and we're singing the hymns of God and we're lifting up our voice to honor Him, that to me is one of the most joyful things that we can do as children of God, is just to be together and to worship Him. So he says, let us sing. And he repeated that in Psalm 96. Let us make a joyful noise. I remember several years ago, I would go to the nursing home in Statesboro about twice a month. And there was a gentleman there that he and I, it became kind of a joke between the two of us, because every time I would start the service, I'd start handing out song books. And it got to where I did it deliberately for him, but I'd come to him and I'd hand him a song book. And he'd say, I can't carry a tune in the bucket. And then we'd go on. Well, it got to be where I started saying, I'm going to start bringing a bucket then and give you a bucket instead of a song book. But as we think about it, God says, make a joyful noise to me. How do I say this other than just coming out and saying it? Quite honestly, God is not interested as to whether or not I hit every note correctly. And in my case, whether I sing every verse in order as it's given, because I'm often on the wrong verse, sometimes on the wrong song. But what he's interested in is not that note would be perfectly in tune. That's what we want to hear, isn't it? But God says, make a joyful noise unto me. And I know that there's always little jokes that are made about that. But I think, honestly, God is concerned with the noise that starts in our hearts and it comes up and ascends through our vocal cords and comes out of our lips in such a way that honors Him. Let us sing unto the Lord. Quite honestly, I'm not singing for you. You're not singing for me. We're singing unto the Lord. We're making that joyful noise in honor and worship and praise unto Him. Let's make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Here I am on verse on Psalm 95 when I said 96 was my text. But I just want us to think about that not be hesitant. Not be hesitant to sing out to the Lord, to come before His presence with thanksgiving. Now let me go to my text. Again, sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Bless His name. How can we bless God? We always ask God for blessings, don't we? Lord, would You bless us? Would You help us? Would You be with us? Would You strengthen us? And yet over and over and over in the Psalms, David especially tells us we're to bless the Lord. Psalm 103, I always think of that one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Let me bless His holy name. Let me praise Him. How do we bless God? We can't add anything to Him, right? We can't give Him anything that He doesn't already have. In fact, in the 50th Psalm that I'm going to eventually, I'm not going to go to that verse, but He says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So how could I possibly give to anyone that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, how could I give Him anything to add to who He is or what He has? We can't add to Him, but we bless Him, we honor Him, we worship Him, we praise Him. And that's what the word bless in relation to verse 2 of Psalm 96. Bless His name. Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we get kind of reserved in our praise, don't we? We get a little timid sometimes even in our praise. It's okay to praise Him. It's okay to be loud in praising Him. It's okay to sing out. It's okay to honor Him with our expressions of love and gratitude unto the Lord. Verse 3, declare His glory. Don't be hesitant. And I'm seeing that more and more. Aren't you? In my daily action, going to the stores, even at Walmart, there's certain cashiers that we go to, and usually they're the ones that will not hesitant to talk about the Lord. They'll say, God bless you, and in answering to us. And that's a refreshing thought to me. That's a refreshing thing to me, is to see that in modern society, in our everyday outlook, to see that there are those that are willing to just to bless the Lord and bless His name and to declare His glory and declare how good God is to us. The blessings that we have are just, they overflow us every day. In fact, in one of the Psalms it says that He heaps His blessings upon us, His benefits upon us daily. We sang the song, Count Your Blessings. I'm almost at the point of thinking it's impossible to count them all, because He just loads us so much day in and day out. Declare His glory, declare His wonders. Now, verse 7, this is the thought that stuck with me yesterday as I was reading this and trying to make preparation for today. Verse 7 says, give unto the Lord. Verse 8, give unto the Lord. Verse 9, worship the Lord. Have you ever been in a worship service and left saying, I just didn't get anything out of it? I've been guilty of it. I have to say that. I've been guilty of it. But when I look at that and I think back, you know why I didn't get anything out of it? I didn't put anything into it. We receive in relation to what we put into it. So when we come to worship, honestly, we're not coming to see what we can receive from it. God gives us blessings every day. When we come into the house of God, we come to give unto Him. To give unto Him the glory due His name, the blessings due unto His name. Give unto the Lord, verse 7, give unto the Lord, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Honor Him by understanding that everything about us, the strength that we have, anything that is good about us, it belongs to the Lord. There's nothing good in Steve Taylor in the natural sense. There's nothing good that I have to boast about save the cross of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? Let's say the cross of Jesus Christ. So we give unto the Lord. We worship Him. We come to honor Him. To give from the very core of our being the things that belong unto the Lord. Specifically in verse 8, the thing that brought me to this is bring an offering. Bring an offering. Bring an offering. Bring an offering. I'm not talking about the offering plate either. Bring an offering. Bring an offering. We're to come into God's house bringing something that we're going to offer unto Him. Now, again, I don't want to be too critical, but used to, I remember early on when I would hear people say, I just didn't get anything out of it. Then I'd hear others say, well, did you bring a basket to put it in? Well, that's only half truth. Because under the law, they were to bring a basket. But that basket was not to be empty. That basket was to be filled with the blessings that God had given to them. If they were farmers and they were coming under at the time of the harvest, that basket was to be filled with the first fruits that they had harvested from their field. The very first grains of wheat that they cut, they would put it in a basket and they would bring it to the house of God, and they would literally worship Him by the offering of those first fruits back into the Lord. It was an expression of God, You've blessed us with this great harvest that we have, these blessings that we have, and I'm returning it back to You. And then the priest would take it and they would use it in their sacrifices and things. And in fact, the grains of wheat, they would take those and they would go before the Lord and they would wave them. It's called a wave offering. They would wave those grains of wheat, sheaves of wheat, before the Lord in expression of, thank You, Lord. This is a blessing from You. So when we come into God's house, we come with our baskets, but we come with our baskets filled. And it doesn't, I'm not talking about necessarily a literal basket with literal things put into it, but that wouldn't hurt. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our hearts filled with the things that God has given to us, blessed us with, and we bring an offering of saying, Lord, this is a direct result of Your grace and Your mercy on my life. Anything that is good that I have, anything that is good that I say, anything that is good that I do, it's a direct result of Your mercy and Your grace. So we come with an offering, giving thanks unto the Lord. Bring an offering is what He said in Psalm 96. I go back to Psalm 50 now. In verse 14. I just really want to stay with verse 14. Psalm 50, verse 14. Psalm 96, He says, bring an offering. Now, what is that offering we're to bring? Verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. Bring an offering. So what does God require of us? And maybe I'm being strong in saying it's a requirement, but He does tell us to do it. So that's pretty much a requirement, isn't it? If God says do it. But what does God require of us? Gratitude. Gratitude. Just to be thankful for what the Lord has done. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Now, I'm just going to say a little bit about that, but I want to stay with thanksgiving. Have you ever promised God anything? Have you ever said, Lord, if You'll do this, I'll do that? You better be sure to pay it. Better sure. In fact, God says it's better not to make a vow than it is to make one and not keep it unto the Lord. So that's all I got to say about that. I want to stick with thanksgiving. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Offer unto God thanksgiving. That word offer. It really just jumped out at me this week when I read that. Offer unto God. Offer. Offer thanksgiving unto God. When we ask the blessings, we say, would you give thanks? Would you give thanks? Would you ask the blessing? And God says, offer it. Now, I may be splitting hairs, okay? But that just jumped out at me in that I had to think back in my life. I'll leave y'all out of it. But I think back in my life, how many times have I said thank you, and it really be kind of a half-hearted thank you? I'm being hard on myself, I'm telling you. But how many times have I really said that? How many times have I turned and walked away after someone did something for me and asked myself the question, did you say thank you? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Never been there, have you? Did I say thank you? And I get in the car or wherever, and I'm going back in my mind and trying to replay that. And I hope that I said thank you. But then I have to say, okay, was it just a habitual thank you that I said? Or was it a heartfelt sense of gratitude? Thank you. And that's what jumped out at me is sometimes in my prayers, I say, thank you, Lord. And then I go right on to, I need this, I need that, I need the other. And then I have to stop and say, Lord, did I really mean it when I said thank you? Do I really understand the blessings that you give to me every single day of my life? You see, again, that word offering, offer unto the Lord, offer unto the Lord. I keep repeating it. Because I want it to sink into my heart. Offer unto the Lord. Lord, would you accept my gratitude? Not as though I'm doing him a favor by saying thank you, but would you accept my gratitude? Would you accept my thankfulness for what you have done for me? Offer unto the Lord. Under the law, there were millions and literally millions of sacrifices that were offered unto the Lord. But they did not know that God had received that offering and accepted that offering until the priest walked out of the tabernacle, out of the Holy of Holies, and when he walked out alive, then they knew that that which they had offered, God had accepted. Lambs were slain to free them coming out of Egypt. The blood was offered on the doorpost of the house. It was offered. But until the next morning when they started counting heads and realized that all of their household was safe, that they knew that God had accepted that offering unto him. Goats were slain and the blood was offered unto the Lord. Goats were released to show that the sins had been carried away from them. Bullocks, lambs, rams, pigeons, turtle doves, many things were offered unto the Lord to show that really their need for redemption from God. The writer of Hebrews tells us that those things that were offered under the law, those animals, they simply were given as a reminder, you need redemption. You need redemption. You are a sinner before a holy God. You need redemption. So it's not possible for the blood of a goat or a lamb or a ram to take away sin. So why did God require them to do that? It's a reminder of their need for God. I read something just this morning that was shared with us on one of our Sunday morning texts, that one of the ministers shared with us a saying that Abraham Lincoln had said back in 1860, whatever. And he said, we have forgotten God. And he went on to talk about the things that were there. And when I read that, and that was the whole point that was being shared with us, isn't that where we're at today? Isn't that where our nation is right now? We have forgotten God. We've placed our dependence on man. We've placed our dependence upon man's devices, his thoughts, his finagling, however you want to say it. We've placed our dependence on those things, and we have forgotten God. And it just might be that all of this turmoil that we're experiencing and all this turmoil that we're all praying about, it just might be God saying, hey, remember me? Remember who I am? You see, this hit me to think that all of these remembrances that God gives to us, they're to bring us back to that place of gratitude. Gratitude. We live in a time of ungratefulness. We live in a time when people expect and think that the world owes them a living. I don't like saying that, but that's where we're at. We've forgotten our need for the Lord. When I say we, I'm talking in general terms, okay? But if it applies to me, then I have to say I've forgotten God. But there was one offering that was made. One offering that was successful. One offering that the blood served more than just a reminder. It served as that which was our redemption. That price that paid the debt that satisfied God's wrath against us. And that one offering that Jesus Christ made to the Father. He offered His blood. And I'll put this on my terms, and you can put it on your terms, that when He offered that blood to the Father, He said, Father, this is payment for the sins of Steve Taylor. Very personal redemption. Put your name in there too. He offered that blood as payment in full. And the Father said, I accept it. The Father accepted it. I accept that offering. And His accepting that offering made my debt paid in full. Free from that. I want to tell you, if that's not enough for me to sing the praises of God, I don't know of anything that is more important than that, than Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. So as we think about this, we have been made perfect by that one offering. Now, what is the offering that we bring? Well, I just read it. We offer unto God thanksgiving. Hebrews 13 says that is the fruit of our lips, that sacrifice that we make, that we offer, even thanks to His name. But here's the crux that I want to come to. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, and verse 26, the first time that I read this, that it really meant something to me. It drove home to me where I stood as I would look at God. Proverbs 23 and verse 26. And since I've read it, and this was some 20-something years ago, and it showed me what I needed to do, every Bible I've used since then, I underline that verse to go back to it. Proverbs 23 and verse 26. What am I to offer to God? My son. That's relationship, okay? He's talking to his children. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. My son, my child, give me thine heart. And I read that, and I started thinking, well, Lord, you own my heart. You bought my heart with your blood. And he said, Steve, give me your heart. And one day I hope to preach on this here. But give me your heart. And he started taking an inventory of my life. And I said, I've given that to you. And quite honestly, you can't tell it by looking at me now, but quite honestly, when he really showed that to me, I was trying to lose weight. And this was the verse that he spoke to me and convicted my heart about. Give me thine heart. Lord, we give 10%. We go to church. We pray. We study your word. And then I would pray, Lord, would you just take my appetite away from me? He said, give it to me. What? Give it to me. Give me your appetite. And I'll control it for you. But I'm not going to take it away from you. Give it to me. So in this offering that we make unto the Lord, he says, I'm not going to take your gratitude automatically from you. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give me your praise. Give me your attitude. Give me your heart. So whatever it is in life that when we start thinking about trying to give that to the Lord and suddenly those iron bars starts coming across your heart, and that's what happened to me during that time, and I guess I put those bars back up since. Lord, I want to, and then here come the iron bars. Would you take it from me? No, I won't take it from me. Open it up and give it to me. Give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. Whatever it is that we're holding and harboring within us that we just can't seem to let go of, God says, give it to me. Give it to me. And then he concludes by saying, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Can I put that in East Tennessee language? Give me your heart and just step back and watch and see what I can do. Get out of the way and watch me. Give it to me. Give it to me and watch and see what I will do. Let thine eyes just watch. Give it and see. When we begin to give our gratitude, when we begin to give our praise, when we begin to give honor, when we begin to give glory, when we begin to stop being inhibited by our expressions of worship and praise. I'm about to step out in left field, but I'm just going to put one foot there, okay? This past week, I know you won't mind me saying this, there was a brother that came to me after one of the services. And he said, y'all may ask me to leave after I tell you this. He said, I wanted to raise my hand at one point in the message. He said, but I was afraid of what people would say and what they would think. So he said, I kept them down. I said, why didn't you? Why didn't you? I don't think I've ever asked for an amen, maybe once in my ministry. But I have people come to me after the service and say, I wanted to say amen. I said, why didn't you? I'm not asking for it. Please don't get me wrong. But I'm saying we have become inhibited in our praise unto God because we're afraid of what other people might think about us. I'm telling you, it's okay to praise God.
Amen.
Thank you. It's okay to praise Him. It's okay to give to the Lord the glory due unto His name. You know I get excited sometimes, especially when I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. It's okay. I had one church member at Brooklyn. Bless her heart. She said, you're Pentecostal and you don't even know it. But I would get so excited about preaching the blood of Jesus Christ. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. And let your eyes observe and see what I'll do. May God help that my thanksgiving would never again be a half-hearted thanksgiving unto God, but heartfelt, heart expressed, and voice praising unto the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.